Good night, evening, morning, somewhere in the day. We're somewhere on Wednesday, I believe, so glad to see you here. Glad you made it out. I believe God's going to speak to you. Wonderful night of worship. Just continue to pray, just little blessings on these teens. I believe God's wanting to do some things tonight there at Jones Stadium, so we'll keep them in our prayers. If you need a Bible, once you get your hand up real high, I want to get you the Word of God, and then go with me the book of Matthew chapter 6 on our tithes and offerings portions. And so I hope you had a good day today. Woo, I got a good day today. About 3 o'clock, my phone rang, and I looked down there and said, oh, Jesus, it's a 214 number, and I knew what that meant. It's the Northern District of the United States Federal Court calling, and I thought, oh, no. And they said, Mr. Swan, we are telling you your trial has been dismissed again. We don't need you for another day. And I was like, oh, Jesus, you're so good. You're so good. So I can tell it's not a big deal to you, but it's huge to me. I said, thank you, Lord. So we all have different ways we can praise God, but that's a praise for mine tonight. All right, go with me to the book of Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so our treasures are always tied to our heart, and our heart will always pursue where our treasure's at. Now, all you got to do if you want to know where your heart's at, just follow your checkbook. Just follow your bank statements, and it'll tell you. But it's interesting right here. And so when I'm reading this, God, he's a generous God, and he loves when his children are generous. So I don't know if you've ever had this opportunity in your life. Anybody in here ever been around someone that's incredibly generous? And man, they have revelations on giving. Anybody been around that? Well, about 15 years ago, I was able to go to Dallas on Thursday mornings real early. Me and Shelly would go and we'd come back. And so we'd be in these meetings for about 6 hours. And I got to be around this guy who was a business owner that loved Jesus, that had a revelation on giving like I've never heard in my life. So the first time I heard him, he was honoring God with his 10%. He was talking about it. And so I go a couple years later, and his giving just kept increasing. I mean, he would tell about it. And so he would have these breakout sessions, and maybe there are 50 people in there, and I'll bet 48 of them were business owners, and then me and another crazy pastor that just wanted the revelation of giving. And this guy started giving 30%. And he started honoring God with 40%. And he would tell what God was doing. And he said one time, I started tithing off the gross, not the net. And he said, that takes some crazy faith to do that. And so I continued to listen what he would say. And after about 15 years of listening, now listen real close, what I'm going to tell you. He was tithing 50% of his income to the church. And he was giving another 40% of his offerings over and above his tithe. Now you do the math. And I sat there and I looked and I thought, he's given away 90% of his increase. And it blew me out of the water. He was very, very calm, very humble. You would never know. And he would tell you the ways to give, how you would honor God. And I remember one of them that stuck with me that he said, I just kept giving. I was so blessed. I just keep giving. He said, my business blew up. But he said, he got around a big giver. And the guy said, you want to tap into another area? And he said, yeah. And he said, start honoring the Jewish nation. And I thought, where's the Bible reference of that? Well, it's Romans 1:16, to the Jew first and to the Gentile. And so he said, when I begin to give an offering over and above my tithe into messianic ministries in Israel, he said, you wouldn't believe what it did to my business. It blew up. So I would hear those things, and man, I'd tell Shelley, I said, we got to do this. So we started tapping in on giving to a Jewish ministry. And it's called Leket, L-E-K-E-T. I may be pronouncing that wrong because I struggle with English, let alone Hebrew. And so this ministry feeds the elderly in Israel. So every month we send them an offering. And 5 years ago, I got to go to Israel. And I was up around the Sea of Galilee in the area of Nazareth. And we went into a field that Leket owns, or harvesters. Now remember the word gleaning? What that gleaning means, you had a square of a field, and they would leave the corners for the poor to come get them. They wouldn't get it for them, but they'd come get it. And so this day, we got to go out and glean. I got to see firsthand what the ministry Leket was doing. And the guy who was gleaning, he knew who I was. He said, "You guys have been faithful. I've seen you come in over and over." And I said, "Dude, it's a pleasure. It's an honor. It's an honor to give. We're so blessed to give." So I pray the revelation of giving gets in the heart of you. Generosity comes on you, because I'm just going to tell you right now, you can't outgive God. You can't outgive God, and God is a generous God. So there's your tithes and offerings for now. Let me pray. Father God, we love you. We thank you. Lord, we ask you, Holy Spirit, download revelations of giving upon us. Ooh, that we are blessed to be a blessing. And we thank you, Father God, for everything you've done for us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So my prayer was, and I didn't end that, but I said, "Lord, the day's going to come and I'm going to give 90% away like that." That's my goal. Is you there yet? No. We're not quitting. We're giving that get direction. Okay. Just to stir you up a little bit. All right. Go with me to the book of Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, and we are on, as Shelley said, our series here on the spiritual authority. And before I came tonight, I was around two pastors from the Wichita Falls area. One of them went to Bible school with me, and he said, "Man, I wish I'd known you guys had Wednesday night service." I said, "Oh, yeah, we're on." He said, "What you preaching on?" I said, "Spiritual authority." And he goes, "Oh, my gosh, I know where you're going with that." He said, "Man, the church has got to get back to that, don't we?" I said, "We do. We do." And so the prophet Hosea said this in Hosea 4 and 6. He said, "My people perish for lack of knowledge. My people perish because they're ignorant to the word of God." And so we're going to download some word on us tonight to help us to gain knowledge on what the Bible says. So you're in Philippians chapter 2. Start with me in verse number 9. "Therefore, God has highly exalted him." Now the him is the Lord Jesus. And the reason God highly exalted him is, one translation says, because of Jesus's obedience. God highly exalted him. So what was Jesus's obedience? It was to the point of death. He obeyed all the way to the cross. And so because of his obedience, the Bible says here, "Therefore God," not man, but God, "has highly exalted him and given Jesus the name which is above every name." He's elevated Jesus to the highest place of honor. And notice what he said. He gave him the name that's above every name. Keep reading, verse 10. "That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those of earth, and those under the earth." Now, when you read, "every knee will bow and every tongue will confess he's Lord," we can do that one of two ways. You can do that voluntarily, where you say, "Oh, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life." Or there will be a day that you will do it mandatorily. In other words, you're going to bow one way or another. And so he tells us here, the name of Jesus is the name above every name. Now, notice where he said, in heaven, in earth, and beneath the earth or hell. I don't know if you've thought about that right there, but that's a lot better than MasterCard. MasterCard's only good in a few nations. The name of Jesus is good in heaven, earth, and hell. The name of Jesus is the name above every name. Now, you got to get a hold of this right here. And so what happens is this, is when you confess Jesus as Lord of your life, you ask Jesus to come into your heart and be Lord, you have now made yourself to be a person that can use his name and can use the authority of the name of Jesus. And so this is some of the greatest things that we can teach you right here, is the name of Jesus above the name of every name. So now think about this. Lack, is that a name? Yeah. Is fear a name? Yeah. You just start naming. Is cancer a name? Yeah. Is demonic activity a name? Yeah. And so just think about this. Anything that has a name, it has to bow to the name of Jesus. Doesn't matter what it is. You know, I told you a story a couple weeks ago, maybe last week, I get mixed up here on my time, but about the guy who had the pinata and the pinata did all that crazy stuff. Well, this guy, and you'll probably hear me tell several stories of him, he was a captain in the U.S. Air Force. He was stationed there at Cannon Air Force Base. Now, this is a few moons ago. This was back in the 80s. Some of you, you don't even remember the 80s. It's okay. Some of us are, we're dinosaurs. We're ancient. Older than dirt. And so in the 80s, I got around this guy, and he had the gift of discerning of spirits. Now, the gift of discerning spirits means that you can see in the spiritual realm. You see the angels, you see the devils. We have the guy Kelly Castleman not long ago. He operates in the gift of a seer, S-E-E-R. That's Bible, okay? We're not making that up. But this man was one of the first men that I ever knew that saw the spirit realm. And so he was telling us a story, and he was a big guy. He was very humble. But he was in Philadelphia, and he was on his way to work, and he got on a bus, and he said, when I got on the bus, the very first seat was open, so he said, I sat down. And he said, you got to understand that the bus system in Philadelphia, one group's getting on, one's getting off. He said, it's like a fire drill all day, just on and on and on. And so all of a sudden, the bus stops, and he said, this big man gets on, and he looks at me, and he says, get out of my seat. And he said, hey, pal, it's not your seat. I was already here. And the guy said, I'm not going to tell you again, get out of my seat. And he said, I'm not going to get out of your seat, or out of my seat. And he said, the guy squared up like, okay, I'm going to knock your head off. And this guy, his name was Bill. Bill said, when I realized this guy's wanting to fight over this seat, he said, I yelled out, angels, help me. Now, I believe we all have guardian angels. And he said, I don't know what happened that day, but he said that guy dropped his fist. The next bus stop, he got out, and he said, man, I was so glad. He said, when I went and sat back down, this angel appeared to me, and he looked at me, and he said, I bailed you out this time, but he said, don't you ever call on me again. You call on the name of Jesus. You let Jesus be your authority. The angels, we take our assignments from the Lord Jesus, but he said, don't ever do that. So again, I got to know the name of Jesus. Do you know, when I learned this 40 plus years ago, there were some times in my life, all I could say was Jesus. Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. When fear would come at me, I didn't know what to say biblically. I didn't know scriptures, but I knew the name of Jesus, and I'd say, Jesus, the name above every name. Verse number 11, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So when you read this right here, again, when you confess Jesus is Lord, you inherit the name of Jesus. And what I mean by that is you have delegated authority. Now, you can know you have delegated authority, but if you don't act on that delegated authority, it won't do you no good. It's one thing to know it, and it's another thing to use it, okay? Now, we saw last week, what did Jesus himself do when the devils would come around? The Bible said he would speak to them. He would rebuke them. That's exactly what we do. Now, turn with me to the book of James. Back to your right. James chapter number 4. James chapter 4. Ooh, the only way I get results with the name of Jesus is I got to act upon the name. And let me highlight something again. If you're born again, if Jesus is Lord, you use the name of Jesus. I believe it's one of the greatest things you can teach your children. The name of Jesus, the name of Jesus. You know, my granddaughter is in college now, and she was home last weekend, and they had a little episode at her dorm, and one of the girls with her says, I don't know what to do. And my granddaughter looked and said, I do. We speak the name of Jesus. And my little ears poked up, and I thought, okay, she's known that for years and years, the name. You speak the name of Jesus, okay? You speak the name of Jesus. Let that get on the inside of you. Everything I do, and we heard this last week, Colossians 3:17, everything we do in word or deed, what do we do it in? The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus, okay? So we go to James chapter 4, verse 7. And I'm going to read it really quick, and then I'm going to make some comments. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Now, that's Bible. Now, this is one of those verses that may be a top 50 verse. Many people know that verse, you know, but oftentimes this verse is misquoted. Well, what do you mean by that? People will say all the time, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Well, that verse is like a two-sided coin. You can resist the devil all you want and he won't flee from you unless you obey the very first part. Now, we got to dig in here. Look what the very first part says. Therefore, submit to God. Be submitted to God. You know what that means? I obey God. I'm surrendered to God. God, I look to him. I look to the Lord Jesus. I obey the things of God. But listen real close. If you're not submitted to God, you can resist the devil until your resistor doesn't resist anymore, and nothing's going to happen. And I think this is what a lot of people have done. We've acted like the name of Jesus is like this crazy chant or this crazy spell. So number one, you got to, am I submitted to Jesus? Is he Lord of my life? Now that doesn't mean I'm perfect. But are you submitted to Jesus? Now if you're submitted to Jesus, then you resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And I want you to note something right there. The topic here in the last part of verse 7 is you. Jesus is not going to resist the devil. Think about this. Jesus has done everything that he's going to do. He's done it all. You know where Jesus is right now? He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And you know what he's doing? He's interceding for me and you, and I welcome it. But when he says, resist the devil, then it says, and the devil will flee from you. So you've got to know your authority. How do I resist the devil? In the name of Jesus, I resist him. And another way we take authority over them is through the word of God. Remember, we saw that a couple weeks ago. The Lord Jesus in Matthew 4, he said three times, it is written, it is written, it is written. And what did the devil do? He fled. He took off. So the word of God is a weapon we can use. The name of Jesus is a weapon we can do. But let's dive in here just a little more in James. Verse number 8, draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. So this means literally come closer to God, closer and closer and closer. How do I draw near to God? Well, when you get married, how do you draw near to your spouse? You talk, you communicate. You fellowship together. You hang out together. You act like you love each other. And so, you know, everything is developed around a relationship. It's the same with Jesus. So are you saying we can talk to Jesus? I hope you talk to Jesus all day long. Even at the traffic light when you're the only one in the car and people look at you like, man, what's that dude been smoking? I'm just talking to Jesus. Talk to Jesus all day long. Just talk to Jesus. Fellowship with him. So God says, draw near to me. I draw near to him in the word. You get in the word, God will get in you. I draw near to God in my time of prayer. And so he says, draw near to God. Now, watch where he goes with this. Verse 8. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. One of the ways we draw near to God is we cleanse our hands, you sinners. You know what that means? You gotta repent. And I repent day by day by day. Have any of you in here repented numerous times in a day? I repent all the time, man. When I miss it, the Lord will work me over. I'm like, Father God, I'm sorry. It may be something stupid with my mouth. I mean, when I get at traffic lights, there's no telling what comes out of my mouth. I'm like, oh my. But I love to repent. You know why? He said, repent. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. And so the repentance keeps my relationship open with him. It's the best daily vitamin you can take every day. And repentance is a positive. And what the word repentance means is the confession of sin, but a deep sorrow. It's just not lip service, but I'm like, Father God, I'm sorry I blew it again. So the first thing that he goes on, he says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. He tells us, repent. Repent. Take ownership, responsibility of what you did. Keep reading. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts. Keep your heart pure. Keep your heart clean. And I believe a lot of that is still with repentance. But another area we keep our hearts pure, this is a tough one. You got to forgive people. You got to forgive people. The Lord said in Mark 11:25, he said, if you don't forgive others, I can't forgive you. Matthew 5:44 says, we bless those who curse us, and we pray for those who spitefully use us and persecute us. These are two of the areas that I got to keep my heart pure before God. And think about this. If you're walking in unforgiveness and bitterness and your prayers aren't being answered, you may need to do a checkup in your heart and make sure you haven't stuffed some unforgiveness in this filing cabinet and get over and say, Father God, I forgive them. I forgive them, Lord. And you know, when you pray out Matthew 5:44, it may be a prayer of faith. Where you may look at that verse, and you've heard me say this, I hated that verse. I hated that verse for years. But I realized how true it was. And so I'd say, Father God, I'm going to bless those who curse me. I'm going to pray for those who spitefully use me. And I'm going to do it by faith. And I'm only going to do it because you told me to do it. And when you start out doing it, you can hardly get the word out of your mouth. Forgive them. I'm going to forgive them. I'm going to pray the brutest prayer that I get whacked at the knees, man. And so the more I would begin to pray that, Father God, bless them, bless them. And there were times the Lord would put people's face right there, a picture of them. Repent, forgive. Now keep watching where he goes. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. A double-minded man is one that says, I want to hang on to God with this hand and I want to hang on the world with this hand. I'm a saint on Sunday and I'm a sinner on Monday. Now, again, he's not preaching perfect, guys, because none of us are perfect. None of us. But I've got to continue to draw near to God. And I look at verse 8. Verse 8 is kind of the springboard for verse 7. Man, get your heart right in those areas. And then when the devil rears his up, man, you resist. You stand against him day by day by day by day. Now, turn with me, and we'll see how far we get here tonight. Go with me to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. How long are we going to be on this? That's a good question. If you saw my desk right now, there are note things scribbled everywhere. I mean, marked dark here. And so we're going to go here for a while because I believe God's really wanting us to get this in us tonight, where we understand the name of Jesus. So we begin here in Colossians chapter 2. Start with me in verse 9, and I'm going to give you a little nugget real quick. If you had the opportunity to read all of chapter 2, Colossians 2, and I encourage you to do that because you'll see this statement. In him, by him, through him, all the hymns in this verse, the H-I-M's, is Jesus. That's who the hymn is. It's amazing. And so when you see all those things that are in him, that's what I am when I get born again. I'm in him. Now watch what the Bible says starting in verse 9. For in him, there it is, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Jesus is the fullness, nothing lacking. Now listen to verse 10. And you are complete in him. And you may say, I don't feel like I'm complete in him. Well, we're all works in progress. But Jesus is the one that's going to make us complete. He'll help us in every area of our lives. And so he said, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. He's the head. You know what that means? He's the big wig. He's the chief. Verse 11. In him you were also circumcised with the uncircumcision, made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins, the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ. Now, there's some crazy wording in that one right there, and I'm going to do my best to break this down. So he says, in him, through our union with Christ, there was a circumcision. And all the men crossed their legs and said, oh, me. The circumcision that he was talking about was the circumcision of our heart. There was some things in our heart that needed to be cut away. Any of you before you got born again, did you have some bad habits? You had some bad things in your heart? I did. And so when I get born again, he comes in and he begins to cut those things off, and he takes away not only guilt, but the power of sin. He removes them where I don't have to be dominated by sin anymore. Verse 12. I was buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him. Now think about water baptism. This is a picture of water baptism. Just what we did on Sunday morning. And it was powerful on Sunday morning. I'm telling you, it was woof. But when we water baptize people, we take them under a sign of the grave, and then they come back up. And they come back up washed and clean. This is what he's talking about. That Jesus washes us, he cleanses us, he changes our hearts. And some of you may say, well, you say he changes our heart, but I still blow it. I still get mad. I still sin. Well, welcome to the NFL. All of us still do that, but here's the difference. Now when I blow it, now when I sin, it bothers me. Before I was born again, you know what sinners do? We sin. And not only do we sin, we kind of enjoy sinning because that's all we know. But now that I've gotten born again, man, he's making me complete. He's moving me. And guys, I'm not going to beat around the bush with this. We're not going to be totally right, pure, everything until we get to heaven. We're always going to be going through things because God is going to continue to purge you and work on you. And so this is what he's talking about. So we were buried with him, raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses, in your sin, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he is made alive together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses. That's good news right there. I don't know about you, but I thank God I've been forgiven of all my trespasses. And you know, the only thing I did is I received Jesus as Lord of my life, and I asked God to forgive me. And what a deal, huh? Ooh, if the angels keep track of our sins, can you imagine what your spiritual chalkboard would look like? Whew, I look at that and I think, thank God he's forgiven me of my sin. Thank God for his mercy and his grace. Ooh, there's one other one that agrees with me. Verse 14. And having wiped out or removed all the handwriting of requirements that was against us, and what this means is all the Old Testament legalized stuff that we could never obey completely. You know what Jesus said? I'll take care of that in one swath with my son. When he stands on the cross, he'll take away all the sins, he'll take all the requirements, and he'll begin to work within us, and he'll change us from the inside out. And so what Jesus did, he became sin even though he knew no sin. It's incredible what he did. He never sinned, but picture this on the cross. all the sins of the world, the past, the present, and the future, they came upon Jesus. He said, I'll take them. Whew, yeah, thank you, Lord. And so Jesus qualified us. Now watch this end here, verse 14. And was contrary us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. There it is right there. Man, there was a huge price paid for me and you at the cross. But look at this last part here, verse 15. Having disarmed principalities and powers. He disarmed principalities and powers. And if you read that correctly, having, that means he's already done it. He's disarmed principalities and powers. And so that was another thing that he did on the cross. And the Bible says right here, and he made a public spectacle of them. The them is these ones that we talked about in Ephesians 6:12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. So the Bible said he disarmed them. And so this is like stripping a defeated army on the battleground of all their weapons. So this was the picture the Lord gave me. When he disarmed the principalities and powers and the devil, the devil still has a gun. He still has power. But he didn't have no bullets. He didn't have any authority. He got some power, but he doesn't have any authority. And the thing is, he's got a gun, but he doesn't have no bullets. But he doesn't want you to know that he doesn't have any bullets. So he walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And so the devil right here, he doesn't want you knowing that God, through the Lord, disarmed him. And God has given us a name that we don't have to put up with him. But the devil will continue to try to come against everyone. So that's where, you know what our assignment? We speak the name of Jesus. We remind him what Jesus did. Ooh, the devil, man, he bruised the devil's head. That's Genesis 3:15. You can see where that was going to take place. And so when you read all this, here's the thought for you in ending. Don't give the devil a place at your table. Don't give him a place at your table. Because he's a thief. He'll steal, kill, and destroy as long as you allow him. But remember, James 4:7, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. So your homework assignment is, you speak the name of Jesus. You get scripture. Remember Ephesians 6:17, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Weapons. The word's a weapon, the name of Jesus is a weapon, and I'm going to give you the next couple of weeks biblical weapons where you look and you say, Hey, the devil may be like UPS. He may knock on your door, but you don't sign for the package. You send it to returner. Say, you're not welcome here anymore. In the name of Jesus. I had some good stories to tell you, but I ran out of time. So I'm going to have you stand up. I hope this made a little sense to you. Colossians 2:15. The Lord Jesus disarmed principalities and powers. And he made a public spectacle or a public display of them. You know what I believe happened? When the devil was defeated by the Lord Jesus, he paraded all the devils, the demons, through hell. I whipped you, and I whipped you. And he said, I took care of you, and I took care. And he's saying that, and I didn't do that for me. I did that for them. I did that for them. I'm going to give you a little nugget, and this is what we'll end in, I promise. Matthew 16:19, the Lord Jesus said this. He said, I give you the keys of the kingdom. Jesus had the keys. The keys represent authority. So he said, I give you the keys of the kingdom. It's like the Lord Jesus pitches the keys. Now, this is next week. And he said, and the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And if you'll notice, he said, you. So again, Jesus is saying, here, use the authority of the name of Jesus. So raise your hands here to heaven real quick. Father God, we raise our hands here to heaven to you. Lord, we thank you as we review again that your name is the name above every name in heaven, earth, and hell. We thank you for the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you're Lord of our life. We thank you that we live submitted to you. We keep our hearts right with repentance and forgiveness. But Lord, we thank you that we can resist in the name of Jesus and he will flee. And Lord, we thank you on that cross. You took care of the sin problem and you took care of the devil problem for us. And we give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.